And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pay attention to yourselves. That's what your God tells you. You will be tempted through other people to commit sin. If I asked you, what sins are you tempted by? What would you say? Pastor, I really struggle with anger. People make me angry. Or I struggle to keep my mouth shut. Every time I hear a juicy bit of information, I just got to spread it. Or, Pastor, I have a problem with my parents. They drive me nuts. For some of you, your confession might be this: Pastor, my eyes keep wandering and I look at things that I should not look at. These sins are destructive, and you have every reason to repent of such sins and be absolved by Christ. But what about the sin of false belief? How often do we think of that sin? The temptation to believe the wrong thing because somebody tells you to believe in it, and it sounds good regardless of what the Bible says. Anger, despair, gossip, these sins are bad enough, but let us not forget the temptation to believe wrongly. You know, Jesus gives some of his harshest warnings in all of Scripture about false teachers. Why? Because if you believe in the wrong thing, it could literally kill you for all eternity. And there are plenty of people teaching falsehood, and Christians of all stripes need to watch themselves. Pay attention, says the Lord. Temptation to sin will come upon his little ones. Who are the little ones? At first glance, it might seem Jesus is specifically talking about children who fall into the sin of false belief or some other sin when their parents lead them astray. For example, when a parent doesn't catechize his or her child and they stray from the faith. That's a viable way of looking at this lesson this morning. But that phrase, little ones, alongside meaning that child brought to Jesus, we see that in Holy Scripture. The phrase little one can also mean anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. It means the little flock of the chief shepherd. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. Children, yes, but also all his little lambs who have faith in him. Pay attention, O little lambs of your shepherd, because you will be tempted to put your faith in some object or some person who cannot save you. I also bring up false belief and false teaching here also because of where this warning in the Gospel of Luke, where this warning occurs. Before the warning we hear today of temptations to sin coming through people, remember last week's lesson, it was the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man loved himself. He feasted sumptuously every day. And he paid no attention to Lazarus, who had sores. Both of them die, but the rich man is excluded for eternity from the kingdom of God. Then before that lesson in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus warns us about money. He says one cannot serve two gods, God and money. And the Lord Jesus also says that the Pharisees were lovers of money. Then before that lesson, we hear about the parable of the prodigal son. Remember that one? The prodigal son goes out with his father's inheritance, and he squanders it in reckless living, and then he comes back begging for mercy from his father, and what happens? The father gives it. Then before that lesson, we hear about the woman searching for one lost coin. And then before that, there's the parable of 100 sheep and the shepherd leaves 99 to find the one lost sheep. And who is hearing all of this? Luke tells us the Pharisees are on the scene, and they're not happy. They're not happy because Jesus has the audacity to welcome sinners, and he eats with them. What's the common thread in all of this teaching that leads up to the warning about temptation? I think you probably get the point. Israel had a problem with false teachers who hated grace for sinners. They trusted in their own righteousness and loved money. And they called themselves the teachers of Israel. No wonder Jesus warns his disciples. And he warns us. Any Pharisaical teaching, turning people to love money and trust in their own strength, is deadly because such teaching rips people away from the undying mercy and love of God manifested in the gracious person and work of Jesus Christ. All teaching in God's church should ultimately point us not to ourselves, but to Jesus and his saving work of going to the cross to bring you into communion with him and make you alive unto God. His blood covers all of your sin. You know that, don't you? Not one of your sins is uncovered by Jesus. And faith in him and his saving death means you are forgiven, redeemed, and even justified by your God. Pay attention that you don't lose that. Pay attention to yourselves. It's no surprise why the disciples, when they hear about temptation, and they also hear Jesus' command to forgive those who repent of their sin, that their response is, increase our faith. That's how they respond to all this, increase our faith. Think about it. Between temptations, false teachers, and friends, even learning to forgive. That can be hard, can't it? Lord, grant us faith. Jesus teaches us that it's not the size of faith that matters. Faith, as tiny as a seed, is still what? Faith. And you might feel right now that your faith is about the size of a mustard seed compared to your sinful nature, which feels like the size of your entire body. However small faith may seem, faith still receives something that the sinful nature cannot and will not overcome, and that is faith always receives the promise of God to put away all your sin, and when you die, he will bring you to his heaven, where you will bask in his glory unhindered by that sinful nature and all the temptations that besiege us daily. Friends in Christ, this is why we confess that faith justifies. We say that not because faith in and of itself is profitable. Something like believe in whatever you want as long as you believe in something. I'm not talking about that nonsense. Faith always has an object. It always grabs hold of something. And for the baptized believer, that object is Jesus. This is why false teaching and false belief get so much press in Scripture. Because putting your faith in the wrong object means you end up like the rich man while Lazarus dines with the saints. And if you were to ask me the question, okay, pastor, you talk about right teaching, you talk about right belief, how do I know? How do I know what teaching is true and what teaching is false? The answer is never, just take my word for it. I wear a clerical collar. That is not the answer. Run from such an answer. My friends, the answer is God has already given you his word, his truth, and your Lord does not deceive. The pages of Holy Scripture, there you find the word of God and all that you need for salvation and for discerning truth from error. Remember, the Holy Scriptures are for you. Read them, hear them, learn them, digest them. No one is above that word, especially pastors. Faith comes from hearing this word. So hear it often. Hear it often. So when the trials come, when the tribulations come, when you suffer temptations to sin, by possessing God's holy word, you have the treasure, the holy relic, in which God speaks into our ears his forgiveness and his promise to hold us in his hands until deliverance from this world as he ushers us into the next. Watch yourselves, Christian. Do not lose the gospel. Temptations will come. Hold fast to the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, who also calls us today in the text unworthy servants. Unworthy servants. You know, there is assurance in that phrase, unworthy servant. Think about this. The servant who labors is one who already belongs to his master. Did you catch that? The servant already has a master. And that term servant here, it also occurs in Luke chapter 2. When we hear Simeon, he picks up the infant Jesus. And what does he say? Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your what? Salvation. The servant Simeon sees his salvation in Jesus. No servant of Christ is worthy by their works. Your worth comes from he who has made you his servant and his child, placing you in his flock, and he gives you his kingdom even now. Unworthy according to your flesh, worth dying for in the eyes of Jesus. And if you feel like the disciples and yelling, increase my faith, remember just a speck of faith is still faith. It still has Jesus, all of him. It still has his salvation, his love, grace, and favor for you. And faith always says yes to all the promises of holy baptism. Faith always says yes to God's declaration that in holy baptism you really are united to him and so dead to sin. And it is by faith that we confess daily our unworthiness. And it is by faith we confess the truth that in God's eyes, his love for you was so great that he sent his only begotten Son in human flesh, who in his sacrificial death has made you worthy of life in heaven. That is God's word. You are spotless in Christ, washed of your sin in Christ. You are pure in Christ. Let us pray that God always keeps us looking to him and finding joy, not in our flesh, but in the forgiveness of sins and the worth that comes from being baptized in that name above all names. And let us pray that God keeps us from any teaching that turns us away from his never-ending love and his compassionate mercy that is richly, freely, and always yours in Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Savior from now unto that life everlasting. Amen.